Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Bregolia. This is season 2, Eccentric Boo Boo. Shannon, what do you think of that one?
Nope.
No? You're not into it?
Nope.
Okay, well, it's going to happen for the entire year, so get ready.
It worked for the first one.
Well, but that's the thing. Eventually, it's going to work again, right? Mm. This is like the rule of thirds.
The David Letterman School of Comedy.
Yeah. I'll just keep saying Boutros Ghali until it's funny again.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's always
Uma,
funny.
Oprah. Yeah, so this is a comedy game show podcast hosted by me, Dave Rigoli. Each week, I subject my guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. This week, me as always, is Shannon Page. See, I'm stumbling all over this.
I know, we miss a week and you don't even know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Shannon, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Welcome back after our snow day break.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And thanks for bringing whiskey. So we'll see how rowdy this gets.
Yeah.
It could get real rowdy.
Or, I mean, this seems like a pretty chill crowd. We might all just sip it for a while.
Yeah, we might just all become very distinguished and sleepy.
I want to, like, hold it and, like, pinkies up, stir it
just
around.
Swirling it.
Swirl
we need a fireplace. Yeah. We need some high back chairs with wing arms and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Wafted appropriately.
Oh, yes. You don't want to breathe it in directly. You want to just wave it towards your nose, take in the bouquet. Our special guests this week, we have the proprietors of the Curtis Park Delicatessen Cherry Creek location and co-founder of the OG Curtis Park Delicatessen in Five Points. So we have Mike Reif.
Hello.
Hey, welcome. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for being a local Denver business owner who makes good Sammies.
Yeah. Try to feed the need.
Yeah, damn right. And we also have Dash Harrison, who is a partner at the Cherry Creek location, and you're also a social media and website guy.
Right.
Right on.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. Thank
Shut
you.
Up,
thank
nerd.
You. Good. That's the kind of spirited back and forth we're looking for.
We actually hate each other, so this is going to be fun.
Oh, good. Yeah. I've heard that the Tournament best business partnerships come from hatred.
Right.
Yeah, you really just want someone who you want to murder at the end of every
day. You can
day.
Really taste it in the food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. One might think, oh, they're using spices. No, it's hate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where the flavor comes from.
Yeah, it's an apple-level hatred here.
The secret ingredient is rarely love. It's almost always hate.
And some rage.
I'm really excited that you guys are on, because I did not realize that Nate knew you, and unbeknownst to him, every time I drive by the Cherry Creek location, I say, I wonder if they're upset that they named their store after a location and now they're in a different location. So tell me what you think about that. Yeah. We can cut this. We can cut this if you don't like it.
No.
No, this is gold. We're leaving it in.
That's a hell of a question. We actually talked about that and we thought, why don't we just name it Cherry Creek Deli or what's a Congress Park Deli? We have a brand.
Right. People
know what the brand is. If we were going to open it in Portland or something, maybe we would change the name to a local neighborhood there. But
I don't think you should. I don't think you should. I think you should keep it.
There's a lot of, I don't know how to put this gently, older people in Cherry Creek.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they love telling us that you guys know you're not in Curtis Park, right? So a lot of them are actually in Congress Park. And they say, well, why don't you name it Congress Park Deli? And we say, well, we're not in Congress Park either, lady. That's across the street.
Yeah.
You got to go north of 6th.
So Gene is the most famous one. And the very first day was very upset that we didn't name it Congress Park Deli.
Yeah. Her neighbors, or she said her neighbors, did not understand. It's like, well,
yeah,
Gene, you can just pound sand. It's fine.
Yeah. It's still sandwiches. And also, given that this week is the week of the upheaval, you listeners will hear this 3 weeks later. But right now when we record this is when the Oh Boomer memes are huge on the internet. Mm-hmm. So we'll say to this whole conversation with Cherry Creek folks, Oh Boomers.
Oh Boomers.
Yeah.
I have to say I'm glad you kept it. But I just am wondering if having your name tied to a location has caused you issues, and it has. So I'm glad to know that.
I honestly think where it helps is a lot of people don't really know about Curtis Park. It's a very old neighborhood, and it helps kind of educate them about, you know, a part that they may have not been to also.
No, that's true. I grew up here, and I always just called it Five Points until the last year or two.
Yeah. People call it Rhino if they want to church it up, but it's Five Points.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Rhino is totally a corporate scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just more hip.
Our answer was, have you ever been to an old Chicago outside of Chicago?
Ooh, yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Have a list of all the places named after places.
What about Boston Market?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which started here.
Yeah.
It was a Denver company.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, it was a Denver company. I didn't know
that. Yeah. Yeah. And there's no more because the one that was on Grant at 6th closed down. And that's the end of that chapter.
It's weird.
Nobody eats roast chicken anymore.
Yeah.
Well, everybody was lined up at Popeyes today. That was crazy because the sandwiches are back, I guess.
Oh.
Oh, man. I went to lunch. The drive-through line was like backing Colfax up. It was crazy.
That's not going to be a question, is it?
No.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah, was that the first question?
So you guys have a vague idea about how the game is played because I described it earlier. Did you decide which of you wants to go first or if you want Shannon to go first?
I say make Mike go first.
All right.
Oh.
Okay.
I hopped on. Great. I threw a curveball there.
Under the bus I go.
I like that. I like that. So the theme of the game tonight is Sammy's. And Mike, you can pick 1 through 10.
Well, let's start with Lucky 7, I suppose. Probably not the first one to do that, but.
Okay. Well, do you have a vague idea, Mike, about bumvertising?
Negative.
Okay. Do you want to make anything up? You can talk about it, or you can just pass if you
bumvertising.
If you need to.
Well, if I were going to describe it randomly, as I'm going to do, I would say it sounds like a male peacocking on the Bumble service, trying to sell his services to the flock of females, hopefully swiping in his direction.
All right. Okay. So it's it's a hey girl, I got massage skills sort of situation.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Maybe it's about dick size. We could go all day about
that. That's what girls are looking for on profiles.
What are girls looking for?
Massage skills and dick size. That's all I want.
That's it. You just want a giant dick with little hands that can massage people.
And probably dick pics too. I've heard that.
Yeah.
Unsolicited.
Dick pics and hand pics. That's all I need though.
Confirmation.
Maybe both together.
Right.
Someone, well, yeah.
Hopefully, for comparison.
Just the hamburger helper hand and a penis. Shannon, bumvertising.
I'm also going to have to just take a guess at this one. Mm-hmm. My guess is that it's going to be like the juicy track pants when women have advertising on their butts, on their bums.
Okay, so it's a branding thing. Like when Lisa from Saved by the Bell put a giant Lisa on the butt of the jeans that she made.
Oh my God.
That's another example.
Yeah. You are speaking my language now.
Yeah.
If you ever have a Saved by the Bell one, bring me back.
Great.
I would kill.
We will do that. Yeah. I'm almost certain that we will do that.
Perfect.
Because, come on, imagine
we
got to
do that.
Clicks.
We got to do that.
The Saved by the Bell episode, we should make like 5 and just have you on as a second regular guest and we'll bring in someone else.
I'm pretty
sure
it's all on YouTube, right?
I think Lard Voorhees probably isn't doing a whole lot now, so we could probably get her.
I don't think she's doing great.
No, she wrote a book.
Oh, did she?
It is got the most amazing title in the world.
Oh, God.
Wait, can I look it up?
Yeah, look it up.
You're going to have to probably cut some dead air.
Look it up.
In the meantime, Dustin Diamond is doing porn, so if she's writing a book. You know, she's a step above.
Yeah, so Dustin Diamond is doing what people need to do on Bumble if they want to bumvertise.
Right.
Okay, the name of her book is, are you ready for this? True Light, a superior, wait, let me put the punctuation.
Yeah.
True Light, a, superior, take, unto, the, premiere, haloing, of tenuation, period. Readily, available, true light, provides, resource, into, times, mortified, and vestuvid, authenticate, revelation.
Holy cow.
None of that is a valid application of the English language.
Yeah. Is that the whole book?
I'm confused.
Right. There was words there, but I don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
I'm deeply confused. Although I feel
it's
like
amazing.
It's
amazing. It has a 1.6 rating on Goodreads.
Is that out of 5 or 10?
Out of 10.
Out of 5.
But so, I've never seen anything that low.
But yeah, so somebody gave that shit a 5. Everybody gave it a 1.
Right.
And one person gave it a 5 because it's got that 0.6.
Right.
You can't. That is a swing. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't give it a 0.
Screech is still trying.
Screech is still trying.
Bumvertising.
Hey, maybe Screech is still trying will be the episode name.
Oh, there you go.
We'll think about it. All right. Dash, do you have a vague idea about bumvertising?
I was going to go with Kim Kardashian advertising on the butt.
Nice. Yeah.
But since Shannon stole that, I'm going to go with a really dark take here and people advertising on bums when they're spinning their signs around. Aww. And like, you know.
That's going to be it.
I want to feed my family and then like a little McDonald's logo under it and be like, isn't McDonald's for your family? No, but you need to.
Yeah, you know what, Dash? Your dark dystopian take is actually what capitalism renders today. Bumvertising is an informal employment in which a homeless person is paid to display advertising. The reason it's tied into this game is because sandwich boards are a way that a bum might bumvertise. It's by wearing a sandwich board the way that you might advertise the oncoming end of the world.
Oh, man, way to nail that.
That's a really dark start. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
You made me go first.
The bumvertising website publicized this form of advertising. Publicizing this form of advertising was launched in August of 2005 by Benjamin Ragovi, a 22-year-old entrepreneur who hired homeless men in Seattle, Washington, to carry signs with the URL of his poker player matchup site. So there you go. Yeah, there's no depths to the evil that we can do in an attempt to get a little startup off the ground. Yeah, great job. Mike and Shannon, you're going to get a point each, and Dash is going to get 3 points.
Do you remember years ago when, I don't remember who it was, tried to make homeless people into Wi-Fi hotspots all over the city?
I do, yes.
And you had to pay as you were driving along per, like, hotspot that you would
hit? It was like how many homeless people did you ping as you drove around? Yeah, I do remember that. I can't remember who did it, but that's totally fresh on my brain.
Whoa. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. I'm not either.
Yeah, instead of installing the hideous permanent mid-sidewalk 5G receiver, you just have a homeless guy with like an antenna just constantly riddled with cancer.
Right. It's great. It's better than bum fights, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit.
Service
in the
city
seems good. I'm glad you brought bum fights up because that was such a big thing, I feel like, when I was in college.
Yeah.
Where that was popular to order the bum fights videos.
Who were you hanging out with?
I mean, it's. Look, Shannon, I don't want to surprise you, but young men are terrible.
Yeah.
So young men with access to video cassettes and credit cards tend to buy things like Girls Gone Wild and bum fights because both things are somehow enticing. But yeah,
especially when we've been pre-gaming since 11 a.m.
Yes, I mean, there was a football game, so yeah,
right.
So yeah, great job. Dash, 3 points, 1 point each. Shannon,
mm-hmm.
1 through 9.
Two.
Number two. Shannon, do you have a vague idea about Sammy Davis Jr.?
That was our guest before the show.
Yeah, there's got to be a gimme. There's got to be a gimme.
He was a singer, an actor, member of the Rat Pack. He had a glass eye.
He sure did.
It was African American and Jewish.
Yeah.
And I think Eddie Murphy did an impression of him on Saturday Night Live on a regular basis.
Okay. All right. Great. Dash, what can you add?
Yes. That was a lot. I didn't know he had a glass eye. That's pretty fascinating.
Oh, yeah. The glass eye thing. Look at some pictures.
I'm not sure if it's totally true, but I feel like maybe everybody didn't really like him, like he was kind of a dick, but I'm not sure if that's totally true or if everybody in the Rat Pack was just super racist.
I mean, you could probably say that about everybody. You could be like, that's a person that not everybody liked.
It was sort of that era.
It's a safe bet.
Yeah.
That's true. That too, yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mike?
That's, it's tough to do a biography on someone, but... especially when most of the information's already been spewed out. But I do remember hearing, I can't remember if it was him, but I think it was him. He used to hang out like in Vegas at some of like the late night diners and just sit around just regular folks all the time. And people, it was like the opposite of him being a dick. He was pretty approachable from what I remember in that story. But I could totally be misremembering that or making it up. I can't remember if it was him or someone else.
But that's a good one because he has no way of confirming or denying.
Yeah, I really don't.
He was either a dick or the nicest dude ever.
Yeah.
And it could have been day to day based on what he was drinking or what he could see out of his glass eye. Yeah. It's all – I also did not know his glass eye situation. But
how did he lose his eye? Do we know?
I don't know.
I believe he lost the eye in a car accident.
Mm.
Hit the steering wheel with his face, and it's one, you know,
cars
in the 50s and 60s, you didn't have seat belts, you didn't have airbags,
right.
You hit that the wrong way, boom, no more
eyeball. You hit anything, you go straight into it.
That's a bummer, man.
But yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys pretty much covered everything. The only thing I think is kind of notable and weird is that he supported Nixon in 1972 and drew a lot of criticism from the black community. But yeah, I mean, complicated person and very talented. I mean, he was a groundbreaker because he broke in with a largely Italian group of lounge singers / whatever. And managed to be their buddy.
Does he have a hit?
Let's see.
What is he? What is
the
he like
Candy
known
Man.
For?
The Candy Man. Can.
Like from Willy Wonka.
Yeah, yeah. But Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah,
was
great.
His hand size?
What was his hand size? Okay, let's see. Let's see if I can find
was
that.
Was he good
out.
At massages?
It was pretty phenomenal that he broke through in that age as an African American. Singer. I mean, it was pretty unheard of.
Oh no, yeah, it's to be
Jewish,
that hugely popular. Yeah, I can't find hand size. Although it was an autofill. It was an autofill on Google, which was interesting because I typed hand and it went to hand size. So someone else has checked. Yeah, he also he died of laryngeal cancer. So
ooh.
He smoked a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the style at the time.
Always picture him with a drink in his hand too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. That's a time of big drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Great job, Mike and Dash. 1 point each. Shannon, 2 points.
Yeah, she knocked all of that out.
Things I know.
Yeah. Yeah, and Dash, it's your turn. 1 through 8.
Let's go 8.
Number 8. All right, we're gonna play a mini game called Goofus and Gallant. You guys are familiar with the characters from Highlights Magazine, Goofus and Gallant.
Oh God, it's been forever.
Goofus does the thing in a shitty way, and Gallant does it better. So the theme for this is the exploding Samsung Galaxy Note 7.
Oh man, good times.
All right. So what is it that Goofus is doing with an exploding Samsung Galaxy Note 7? That Gallant is doing better.
Oh my God.
Oh,
start
God.
Us out. Keeping
Wait,
in mind that
oh,
there's
Sammy,
really
Samsung.
No bad answer. Yeah. Samsung
it.
Sammy. Mm-hmm.
So that's a stretch.
So, most of the show is.
So Goofus with an exploding Samsung Galaxy 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is downloading porn. From really sketchy websites.
Okay.
Gallant is just getting it straight up from like YouPorn, Pornhub, stuff like that that's trusted.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's this is a scenario where that phone hasn't yet exploded.
Right.
Or tablet,
but it's
phablet,
going to.
Whatever it is. But, yeah, you're not going to explode it, I guess. In
Yeah. I think Goofus is probably downloading whole movies.
Right.
And that's just too much.
Oh, yeah, he's torrenting that shit.
The battery can't handle
Which,
that.
Which, in fairness, probably leads to the explosion of the phone. Yeah. So, good.
And Goofus.
Great. Okay. Good job. Mike?
Poor Goofus. Yeah, I was going to go, not that that's not the functionality of the phone. I was thinking more of taking selfies. Goofus was... just not doing it very well.
Okay.
Taking a straight shot and missing not only himself, but the buttons and mishitting buttons and getting a little fiery where, you know, anyone else is going to be just fine.
Okay, but yeah. So Goofus is a clumsy oaf.
Yeah.
And probably blows that thing up in his hand like a Floridian on the 4th of July. And
yeah, turning into a firecracker.
Old Florida
Thanks
man.
For the delayed laugh.
Yeah, maybe turning on the flashlight feature.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Something a little more explosive.
All right.
But that's all I got for that.
Okay, great.
Speaking of Floridians on the 4th of July, I just discovered the show. It's already finished its first season, so I'm a little late to the game, but called Florida Girls.
Oh, shit.
Have you heard of this?
No.
It's on the Pop Network.
What is that?
It's a show about 4 women in Florida that are... Floridians. They're the worst people on the planet. And it is hilarious. They get in all kinds of hijinks. They have a friend named Crystal Meth.
Oh, uh-huh.
They're constantly Aww. Stealing jet skis. Yeah. It's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, well, you're it's all jet skis.
It sounds like Jersey Shore, but worse.
It's real. It's scripted, though. It's not real.
Oh, okay.
It's a scripted show.
Who's in it? Is anybody in it that we might know?
No. They briefly tried to redo Heathers. Do you remember that?
Oh, God, that was so good.
Yeah.
The movie?
The movie was good.
Yeah, the movie was really good. They tried to do it as a TV show, and it was not very good. And the lead Heather in the TV show is also in this. That's the only person I recognize.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
But not by name, just, just I've seen that face before.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Okay, Shannon, what are you going to do with this exploding Samsung Galaxy Note 7?
Goofus is going to take that phone on a plane.
Oh, yeah, Goofus is a real dick.
Because you're not supposed to do that. That's what makes them explode. That's
I remember so many times they'd be like, hey, if you got one of these, you need to get off the plane right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the side of the plane's going to blow up. Yeah. We're all going to get sucked out.
And Gallant is going to hand it over to the TSA agent as he goes through security.
Great. Very responsible.
Very
job,
responsible.
Gallant.
Yeah. Gallant, why didn't you leave that at home? Why,
yeah, seriously.
Now you're down a phone, but Gallant's all about responsibility.
Yeah, Gallant is a real Law and Order kid.
What a gentleman.
Yep. Great job. 2 points each. You all did wonderfully.
Woo.
And let's see. So we're
a quick aside here.
Yeah.
I remember Goofus and Gallant from, you know, Highlights magazines and The Dentist.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I don't know if anybody out there has kids or if anybody here has kids. I know Mike doesn't, but my kid loves a book called Jasper and Jupe. It is a straight ripoff of Goofus and Gallant. Like, one of them does things terribly, and one of them does things great. And you just saying that totally reminded me of that. And I was like, what an asshole. And I've got, like, 5 of those books because my kid's name is Jasper. And I was like, oh, man, I got to get this.
Yeah. Sounds like a one-star review coming up.
Right.
Is Jasper the good one, or is he the Goofus or the Gallant?
Oh, God. No, he's the Goofus.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Wow. Well, hey, at least you're giving your son the opportunity to see, like, this is the mirror universe bad version of you.
Right.
If you do this.
Don't stick your head in that beehive, you idiot.
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I always think of the Simpsons episode when Bart joins the junior campers, and they have to read the knife safety thing, which is don't do what Donnie don't does. And there's Donnie, there's like Danny do and Donnie don't. Yeah, it's ripe with parody.
Also, what kind of name is Jupe? I mean, no offense to anybody listening whose name is Jupe, but
it's weird, right?
Yeah. Is it like J-O-O-P?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's French for skirt. Jupe. J-U-P-E is French
the
for
more
skirt.
You know.
Don't worry, there will be French nonsense later. Yeah, great. Mike, we're back to you.
Yeah.
Number 1 through 7.
Let's go in the middle. 4.
Number
the difference.
4. Okay. Do you have a vague idea about the ham sandwich theorem?
Theorem.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Let's see. Oh, man. I have no idea. So, no. So, this is going to be made up.
Make it up. Make it up as brilliantly as you want.
The ham sandwich theorem would be, it sort of reminds me of maybe the bacon theory, where anything you put on it, it's going to make it better.
Okay.
Whether or not you like ham, whether or not you think you like ham, whatever's on your sandwich, just add ham. It's going to make it better.
I can't disagree.
More ham. Whether it's bacon, prosciutto, pancetta, anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Give me some prosciutto.
Just put it on my sandwich. A vegetarian sandwich, put it on my sandwich.
if it's thin enough, it's not meat at all.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You can't. It's air. It's air meat. It's slice it thin enough that it's like air.
Wait, ham isn't vegan?
It's a whisper of ham.
Yeah, it's a whisper.
That is actually my favorite thing to do when I go to a restaurant or to like a sandwich place, especially, like, put a whisper of mayonnaise on that.
Just a whisper, yeah.
You don't do that.
No, I've done it a couple of times.
Oh, don't be that guy.
Actually, like, out of the times I've done it, most people have got it. They're like, you want very little. Like,
yeah. Right. We call that a dusting.
Yeah, dusting's good.
Just
yeah,
a little aioli. We say, well, you want a dusting? You know, which,
or a little bit of Thousand Island is 500 Island.
Yeah, and extra is 2,000.
Yeah.
We had that today.
I always order extra Thousand Island. I'm going to try 2,000 and see if anybody gets it.
I would like a 2,000 Island dressing, please.
Yeah, well, whoever's working there doesn't get it. Don't go back there.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. Fired. Everybody's fired. Great job. Shannon, ham sandwich theorem.
Sadly, I've actually... It's familiar,
but
I can't tell how.
Okay,
I cannot remember. I know.
I mean, given your mathematical background, you probably know this. Sure,
it's killing me because it is so familiar, but I can't think of it. So I'm going to say it is a theorem that the universe is the shape of a ham sandwich.
Actually, I read an article today that said that perhaps the universe isn't expanding so much as it is a ever expanding ellipse, so it's actually like folding back around itself and creating a circle. based on a study. Who knows? There's so many sites on the internet, I can't tell what's real anymore.
There is a theory also that the universe is the shape of what basically is the same thing as lettuce. So the edges all fold on top of each other.
Ooh, yeah.
So like it was flat for a while, but now it's like starting to get like all crazy.
So Modest Mouse was wrong all along.
You know the good thing about these theorems? You can just spout whatever you want, and no one's ever going to be able to be like, yeah, that's totally lettuce, but it's bib lettuce.
You know, if your website says somethingscience.com, people would probably be like, this seems legit, right? I mean, they wouldn't buy somethingscience.com unless they were science. They won't even say scientists. They'll just say science. Dash, what do you think? Ham sandwich theorem.
Man, it's hard.
Yeah, it is. It's really kind of, it makes a lot of sense when I'll read it to you, but do you want to throw something out?
Maybe everything in nature can be attributed back to the shape of a ham sandwich cut into triangles.
Ooh. You know what's interesting is that you have hit on what is instrumental in this thing just by saying that.
I'm so smart.
You're backing into a lot of right answers.
It's the whiskey.
Yeah.
Going third. Yeah, going third is your thing.
The ham sandwich theorem states that a given N objects floating in an N-dimensional space. So if you have three objects in three-dimensional space, there exists a single dimensional hyperplane that simultaneously cuts through all the objects. So you make a sandwich. If you have a sandwich, you can cut through all three aspects of the sandwich one time for sure, cutting it into a triangle. You know, you could cut squares too, I guess. But this theorem states that if the two pieces of bread and one piece of ham are floating in a three-dimensional space, then there is a single plane that slices each of the three items into two equal volume chunks.
Oh, my God.
So you literally hit it by saying cutting a ham sandwich in half. That is the fucking answer.
Yay.
Yeah. Good job.
Every time we cut a sandwich, we're getting into the ham theorem.
But why ham?
I don't know. I assume there's got to be some sort of pork industry bias here.
Right.
Like we need to really get in there and investigate how scientists and
ham
and Big Ham are really working together.
Big Ham.
So Dash 3 points, Shannon 2 points, Mike 1 point, and Shannon, we're back to you. 1 through 6.
I'll go with 6.
Number 6. It's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Ooh, all right.
All right. This week on Fuck, Marry, Kill, your options are Uncle Sam,
mm-hmm.
Samantha Maselli, Alyssa Milano's character from Who's the Boss?
Oh, hell yeah.
And a surface-to-air missile, also known as a SAM or SAM.
That's an interesting conundrum, I'm
in. Isn't it?
Alyssa Milano, a surface-air missile, and Uncle Sam. Mm-hmm. All right, I am going to ride that missile like Dr. Strangelove.
Great.
Fuck it.
You're fucking the missile?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Seems
cool.
Like a good ride.
She's at a distinct advantage here for being able to fuck a missile.
Well, you can fuck a missile
too.
I suppose I could. Yeah. It's 2019.
Let's be fair. Like we're for the purposes of this game, you are not bound by anatomy in any way. So don't worry about
like the old,
I don't have a place to put that missile. You just gotta
figure it out.
Maybe missiles have tailpipes.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm going to marry Alyssa Milano from Who's the Boss.
Yeah.
Because I want to be a part of that family.
Hell yeah, you do.
They had such good times. I want to ask Mona about her sex life.
Oh, yeah.
I want to figure out if Tony Danza or Angela, whatever.
Yeah.
Who's the Boss?
Yeah.
I want to be there.
You want to be in
house. So I'm going to marry into that family.
Situation. They have a carriage house. That's a mansion unto itself.
Yeah. So
this is a good property to buy into.
Seems like a nice Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm marrying into that.
Okay.
And then I'll kill Uncle Sam.
Yeah, I mean, that seems pretty obvious.
Because I'm not a big nationalist. So.
Well, he doesn't have any real representative
and,
value.
Yeah.
Great. Good job. Okay, Dash, what are you going to do?
Oh, man. I mean, I'll start off by saying kill Uncle Sam.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I hopped into that too quickly.
No, I don't think you can hop into it quickly enough.
Go America.
Propaganda cartoon character is problematic.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
But he wants you.
Yeah. Ooh, sorry, comrade.
Yeah, I mean, that's even more reason to kill him because he wants you so much. Yeah, it's creepy. Stop wanting me. We've never met.
You know, 10-year-old me is going to just bang the shit out of Alyssa Milano.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Samantha Maselli.
Uh-huh.
No, that's why I was in a conundrum.
Yeah.
Because I was feeling the same thing.
I had a thing for Angela the whole time, though. Oh, my God. She was so hot.
Judith Light, nice looking lady.
Yeah,
and great in her later roles on Law and Order as a judge.
Oh yeah,
didn't she do infomercials for something? Books maybe? Like I don't know, diet books. I don't know.
Hmm.
She might have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But yeah,
everybody buy it. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to the Home Shopping Network and buy Judith Light's books.
Yeah. And then I guess that means I'm marrying a surface-to-air missile.
Okay, cool.
You know, because world domination and shit.
Well, I mean, in fairness, it's a marriage where you know that if shit hits the fan, that surface-to-air missile is really going to deal out some business.
Right.
You know, you're shopping at Walmart. Some guy comes up. He's like, hey, it's Black Friday. I want to steal your TV. You're like, whoa. And then Sam pops out, and he's like, get out of here.
Maybe you should talk to my husband about that.
I'm gonna pop one off on you.
I'm definitely a power top, though, just to get that out there.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I think a missile can be a bottom if it wants to. Yeah, I don't think there's rules. Sure. Yeah.
I don't think you have to ask the missile for permission.
No.
And the upside, too, is probably the missile is never having any performance issues.
Yeah.
I think it's engineered to not.
Right.
It's well-fueled.
Yeah. Great.
That's what Uncle Sam wants you to believe.
Yes. Well, of course.
Right.
Mike, what are you going
to
do?
Oh man, well I hate to be along similar lines, but I think Uncle Sam's also going to be pounding sand. We're going to kill him off.
Yeah, good.
I just don't like anybody pointing at me. It seems
that's very aggressive.
Yeah, that doesn't make me want to fight for you. It makes me want to fight you.
Yeah. So are you calling me out?
Yeah.
For what?
What did I do?
I'm just trying to live.
He was the original bro.
Yeah, he's still broing it after all these years. And then
can you even serve, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah. and then who's not going to fuck Alyssa Milano? I think all of us here would do it at the same time if necessary. Whatever she's
assuming
into,
consent.
Well,
let's be clear about that.
Yeah, whatever she wants to do.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
is
whatever
clear.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
But I think we're all consenting here, the four of us. So I feel
and, yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah.
Well, if she were here,
things just got steamy.
Yeah. I mean, we are in a basement in a small room.
Yeah. So. Alyssa Milano, if you'd like to be on A Vague Idea, tweet at us.
Yeah, that would be my dream come true.
Yeah, I can't see any of you right now. It's weird. so yeah, you can't get rid of your high school self. So I think I'll stick to that. And then this also leaves me with marrying a missile,
mm-hmm.
which I guess seems pretty appropriate with global warming. I can take it to the moon or somewhere a little safer, you know. It's my family, me and Mr. Missile.
I like it. But the payload is your future. It doesn't have to be violence. It could just be take me somewhere else.
If you're married to the missile silo, you might also you might also live in the missile silo, which would be very safe.
Yeah,
so that's
a nice hole in the ground, big metal casing. Seems, I mean, fire.
Who doesn't
want to
live in a shaft, right? I mean, that's what we're all really aspiring to.
Yeah.
There's a ton of old missile silos in Kansas that have been turned into like doomsday prepper places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the Cloverfield Lane thing, right? Yeah. That's the like the essence of that.
Oh, is it? I mean, I know he's in a bomb shelter, but.
Yeah, but I thought the. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, yeah.
There's some that have been turned into like really nice mansions, though, too. They're like 100 feet deep with 10 different stories. It's really cool.
What I'm thinking of is actually the American Horror Story Apocalypse season.
Oh.
That is basically everybody's in a missile silo after the world ends. Okay.
Spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, that's spoiled in the first episode, and we didn't watch past the second. So, great job. Everybody gets 5 points.
Yay!
Excellent work on Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Nailed it.
And let's see.
Fucked it. Whatever.
Well, you did.
That's right.
You did what you had to do, guys.
Right.
That's what matters here.
Sorry, Alyssa Milano.
I mean, you know, and the thing is...
I think that was very flattering for her.
Yeah.
We also kind of volunteered her, but...
No, I mean, everybody loves her, and it's the character she played, not her, fairness.
That makes
okay. We're potentially having intercourse with a fictional character. So, Michael, that was you, right?
Yes.
So, Shannon...
I think that was Shannon.
That was Shannon?
Yeah. All right. See, this is what... This happens every episode.
I know. That's why I tried to... Do this, but you weren't looking.
I know. I'm terrible.
I was pointing for those of you at home.
So Dash, 1 through 5.
5.
Number 5. Okay. Do you have a vague idea about Unsinkable Sam?
Yes. Is it have to do with Sam Maselli? No.
You mean Alyssa Milano's character?
Yeah.
No. It does not.
Damn it. I thought there was tying in there. Unsinkable Sam sounds a lot like a boat that was maybe Titanic's cousin.
Okay.
That definitely sank and probably killed a whole lot of people.
Yeah, most things that were unsinkable sank.
Right. Yeah. I'm guessing it was made out of some stupid substance like steel.
It's just all balsa wood.
Yeah,
steel.
Made it about 200 feet out.
Balsa wood. Everyone was not like, sink.
This is the best ride of my life. And then it just sort of, you know, shit the bed.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's not right, but that's a good start.
Oh, no, I'll try again.
Okay.
I thought the unsinkable ship was the Lusitania. No?
Well, the Titanic was the unsinkable ship. That's
oh,
what
that
they
what
boasted
it
as. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that and Lusitania didn't do very well.
But yeah,
the
Lusitania
well.
Also
but that was
definitely
down.
Sank. Yeah,
right.
By German U-boats, right? I think
damn
so.
Fucking pesky U-boats. That also took Hitler to Argentina. Is that the theory?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That he didn't kill himself. He got on a submarine, zipped over to Argentina.
Made it a quick 7,000 miles.
Yeah,
with all of his gold.
Just hanging out to this day. I mean,
he's
dead now.
Under DIA.
Oh, almost certainly. Yeah. Well, I mean, who isn't?
Right.
I'm living under DIA. This podcast was recorded under DIA.
Well, when it gets windy, you got to go somewhere.
Yeah. So, Mike, Unsinkable Sam.
Oh, man. Let's see. Unsinkable Sam. Man, yeah. I was thinking along the lines of a submarine and a ship as well, but I also feel like it could very well be a person, but I don't know which Sam it would be. So we'll just stick to Uncle Sam, and we'll say that. I mean, he's been around since the beginning of the country, demanding our services. He does seem fairly unsinkable, and I mean, he's just an asshole. He won't go away.
Yeah, great. Fucking so guy. yeah, Unsinkable Sam is just a euphemism for our unfettered nationalism.
Yeah, that. A surprising number of people are still into, but a surprising number of people are also on the opposite side. But yeah, he just, well, as we know from our current leader, we have the best military in the world.
Oh, so, we got all the best things.
Yeah.
And none of the things that happen are ever his fault or whatever. I don't know anymore. It's crazy.
So he's continuing to send the messages of the unsinkable Sam. Maybe he's the unsinkable Sam.
Kind of. He's kind of seems that way.
He's been riding an impeccable wave of doing whatever the hell he wants and not facing many consequences.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
It is tragically impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great job. Shannon, Unsinkable Sam?
Well, I was going the same direction. I thought it was a person, mm-hmm. and I tried to think of some famous Sams. I got some Samuel Jackson, Samuel Clemens, maybe.
Mm. Okay.
None of those really felt right. But then I remembered here in Denver, we have a famous person, the unspinkable Molly Brown.
That's true, we do.
Who was on the Titanic, and she survived, and she has a mansion here that you can tour if you're interested. Mansion is a strong word.
It's a big house. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'm going to say that the unsinkable Sam was the... And Molly Brown was a really like strong... I imagine she was probably a suffragette. I don't know if the timing's right on that, but she's
no,
a badass.
I seem to remember that the as Kathy Bates portrayed
Kathy
her
Bates,
in the film Titanic.
Yeah. I pictured Kathy Bates.
She is, yeah, she's a tough lady.
So
she's
I'm gonna,
a businesswoman.
I'm
she's
say,
a suffragette.
I'm going to say yeah. Sam's her little boy toy.
Ooh, wow. Oh.
Ooh, Molly Brown.
So Molly Brown's trying to sink Sam every other night, right?
Ooh, minx.
Yeah, you guys all were wrong, but that's fine. Unsinkable Sam, also known as Oscar, is the nickname of a real cat, reportedly in service as a ship's cat during World War II, both in the Kriegsmarine and the Royal Navy, surviving the sinking of three ships in total. This cat, you guys, survived the sinking of boats. It was on the HMS Cossack, a destroyer in the... you know, British Royal Navy. It was also in the German battleship Bismarck. And, yeah, that's all it says here.
Oscar, and one more.
Yeah, yeah, and one more.
Miscellaneous.
Oh, no, the HMS Ark Royal. Yeah,
wait,
so.
How does this cat named Sam get the name from Oscar? This is very confusing.
Yeah, what's that
yeah,
about?
So the cat's name was Oscar, but it was also Sam. Because I think it was on a German boat.
That sounds like two different cats.
Oscar. Yeah.
Well, hey, I don't know.
Somebody just replaced the cat and was like, yeah, this is totally Oscar, Sam, whatever.
Yeah. Oscar
okay,
died.
Okay,
and
okay.
Put
here,
Sam in there.
Here you go. Here you, okay, okay. When okay, so on the Cossack, this cat Sam was rescued. Okay. The black and white patch cat was supposedly owned by a crewman on the battleship Bismarck and was on board the ship in May of 1941 when she set sail on Operation Rheinübung, German for Rhine exercise. Great. Bismarck's only mission, so that's dumb. It only did one thing, and it sunk after a fierce sea battle. Hours later, Oscar was found floating on a board and picked up from the water by the Cossack, and unaware that his name had been Oscar. This is very confusing.
Yeah, you started with Sam in that story.
This
yeah.
is like that book title from before.
Because if you would have said Unsinkable Oscar, I would have known that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I recognize. Everybody knows what Unsinkable Oscar is, and this was very tricky.
You're fucking this up.
I guess he was renamed Sam for the HMS Ark Royal. The bottom line is this cat, like, fell off of a several boats over the period of 4 years. Pretty cool.
You're the person on that third boat, do you just see this cat and you're like, fuck this. Like, he's already sunk two boats. I'm out of here.
Right.
I mean,
it sounds like the cat is a really bad omen.
With how cats, especially because this is a black
and white cat.
He's a
double agent.
I mean, it's a black and white cat, so it's not quite a black cat. Mm-hmm. But I would think that you'd still be like, I don't know. Should we pick up this cat that's floating on the ocean? Maybe not. Yeah, you all did great. You're going to get 10 points each.
Thanks, Oscar.
That was really good. It was really good. You're all as unsinkable as Oscar / Sam is.
I think Dash was probably the closest. It was boat related.
Yeah.
Not human related.
Yeah.
But without humans, are there boats?
I wanted to say something about Sam Malone, but he was very sinkable, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because alcoholism sunk him.
Yeah.
And then
no, it didn't.
And then Diane.
Womp. Well, alcoholism.
It didn't completely sink him.
At all.
It just led him to opening a bar.
Yeah. He was a great alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a champ.
He's a poster child of alcoholism.
Mike, 1 through 4.
Let's do 1.
Number 1. Do you have a vague idea about the Sammies? Sammies.
Perhaps.
Okay. Talk about it.
Just the Sammies. This sounds like a boy group from the are boy groups, right? I want to say men's groups, but yeah, it's boy bands. It's a boy band. It sounds like a boy band.
Okay.
From the late 90s era, competing with O-Town, but they're really singing about, you know, all the combination possibilities that Subway offers, the millions and millions of combinations for each sandwich. And you can easily pump out 12 tracks, dance, get all the tweens to follow you. It's millions of hits.
So
each combination's worth countless hits.
So while that wasn't my intention, there is a boy band called the Sammies. So you're going to get some credit.
Is there really?
That. Yeah, there is.
Fantastic. Oh my God, that's amazing.
There is.
Well, from the 90s or when was it?
No, pretty recent. Let's see.
We're finding that on Spotify tomorrow and playing it only at the deli.
Yeah. So well, we should also do it 3 weeks from now when this airs, the day after.
Done.
Just and every day in between.
Yeah.
Stop by for all day Sammy Boy Town.
Yeah, you can look. There's a whole. I mean, they might not be a boy band, but they have. Let's see, they got 5 albums, 2006 through 2018.
I should cover the whole day of work.
That's perfect. They're a southern band of some kind because there's Georgia involved. Whatever. I don't know.
They all Sams or?
It doesn't. I don't know. I'm not gonna go that deep.
Look it up, people.
We're not doing that tonight.
I mean, I know that's not what you intended, but he totally got that.
No, I agree. Yeah, okay. I'm not. You're going to get points for that. Shannon, do you have a vague idea about the Sammies?
To me, it sounds like an award, a sandwich award.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very good. It is a sandwich award.
Given to sandwiches.
Given to sandwiches?
For being yummy. I don't know.
You were very delicious. I can't believe how you somehow combine artichoke hearts with whatever.
Sun-dried tomatoes.
Yeah. See, that's too complimentary. We need like disparate sandwich ingredients that somehow work together. Yeah, like a peanut butter banana situation. Mm. That's what's weird. Yeah, good job. Yeah.
Just call a peanut butter banana sandwich weird?
Yeah, it's the Elvis.
Yeah, it's the Elvis.
We had one at the deli for a little while.
That's not weird at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's not terribly weird, but it's like, you know, people. I don't think people just do that. Like, nobody's just going, oh, yeah, well, I got these two things around. What should I do with them?
It's weird that he was eating one when he died on the toilet.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know, we all know that Elvis was a paramount of efficiency, so he's like, hey, I'm going to eat on the toilet because it's just going to go in and go out.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
I'm going to bang this heroin while I eat a sandwich on the toilet.
I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
I
have
a lot of time. I got to write this next song.
I'm done.
I got a jumpsuit to fit into for next concert. Yeah. Good. Good. Dash, what do you have to add about the Sammies?
So the perils of going third, because I was also going to say an award.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who it's probably put on by, and maybe in New York. I feel like, no, I don't like that anymore. Chicago.
Oh,
I feel like it's based in Chicago.
All right.
It's probably a bunch of assholes that think that they know better sandwiches than anybody else. Probably all hot stuff, meatballs.
They probably
like
think
that.
A Chicago dog is a hot dog.
Yeah, I bet there's people that get in fights there about whether hot dogs are sandwiches or not.
It's not. It's a taco.
It's a taco.
It's a three.
Is that the official line as a sandwich purveyor?
You got to look this up. I can't remember what
I like
it is.
It's how many sides have the bread on it?
Yeah. So there's a great website. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but it's based on the dimensions.
Yeah.
So anything that's one dimensional is a pizza.
Okay.
It's toast. So pizza is toast, and it's one dimensional with things on top. That's a toast.
Okay.
Tacos, you know, it's wrapped around three dimensional. Includes a hot dog. That's a taco. Anything that is encased all the way around is, I believe, sushi.
Yep.
So a burrito is sushi.
This way. Yeah, that's sushi.
Okay. I'm into that. I'm into that.
Yeah, a calzone, I think, was also sushi. I can't remember. Anyway.
Calzone is probably like encased totally.
Yeah, that's all the way around. Yeah.
There's one where it also ends up like if it's in a bowl situation, that's soup. But then that means salad can also be soup.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's a dimensional side problem, and I wish I had more of it memorized, but it is a fantastic, fantastic read.
Yeah. And a sandwich is anything with the two dimensions.
Right. Yeah.
Well, on an unrelated note, if anybody wants to nominate Curtis Park Deli for a Sammy, just go ahead and do that.
Get on the Sammy
website.
Where
do we win these, by the way?
Why don't I tell you? The Sammies are an annual award given by the British Sandwich Association to sandwich manufacturers and retailers.
Do we have to be in Britain? Or?
There's a British Sandwich Award, which is outstanding achievement in the development of the sandwich industry. There's also Sandwich Manufacturer of the Year, Sandwich Retailer of the Year, and that actually may be it.
Y'all gotta get in on this.
Sounds aggressive.
Yeah. Do we have to send a sandwich to Britain?
I think you might, because so here, recent winners include you got your Marks and Spencers, your Pret a Manger, you got
Pret a Manger.
Pret a Manger. You got your Tesco's. You got your Boots. Jay Sainsbury.
Boots one.
Boots.
Boots is like.
I've never heard of any of these.
Boots is like Walgreens.
Boots won in 1999 and 2004.
It's a drugstore.
Sounds super corporate.
So maybe I don't want a Sammy.
Maybe you don't want a Sammy. But hey, it's a British
star. Seems
we should start our own Sammy Awards.
Yeah. The American version for sure.
Yeah.
The British Sandwich Association was founded in 1990.
Oh.
It was based in Chepstow. Chepstow? I don't know. You lived there for a year.
I don't know. It's probably Chitao.
Yeah, probably.
No,
Chinese?
What
happened?
The aim of the organization is to improve the sandwich industry by setting standards and rewarding excellent sandwich manufacturers and retailers. So, yeah. Clearly, that's working really well. Everybody knows that Britain is known for their food.
Yeah.
Well, they'd have that Earl.
The Earl of Sandwich. Yeah, which I didn't include in this because it was too on the nose.
That was before 1990.
It's their legacy. They're like, that's why we can give out awards.
Right.
We had the Earl.
We had the Duke. We did it.
Great job. 2 points for Mike and Dash and 1 point for Shannon.
Check out that boy band later.
Check out that boy band. Check them out. Shannon, we're back to you.
I think so.
Okay. One, two, or three?
I'll go with number three.
Number three, it's time for Thunderdome. We're going to play Thunderdome. So in this instance, you're going to decide who survives a battle of the death between a Philly cheesesteak and a Kentucky hot brown.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was like cheesesteak.
Right.
But then you introduced a
Kentucky hot
dark
brown.
Horse
good
there.
Sandwich.
A dark horse.
It's a good sandwich.
I think I'm still going to go with the cheesesteak.
Okay.
Because everybody knows that people in Philly are super badass and will beat the shit out of you for any reason, and so will their cheesesteak. Mm.
Yeah, you're going to get the Flyers mascot's going to just beat you.
Yeah.
Gritty.
Yeah, this is a Philly versus Louisville situation. Philly's always going to win.
Yeah, yeah. Philly's angrier.
Yeah.
They throw Santas at Santas. They do throw Santas, but they throw snowballs at Santas.
They throw Santas at batteries and at snowballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They punch horses. That's not cool. Don't do that.
So, Dash, what do you think? Philly cheesesteak or the Kentucky hot brown?
What is a Kentucky hot brown? It sounds like a really gross sex thing.
It's like a Kentucky Derby special.
Is it chicken sandwich?
Is it chicken?
Turkey.
Kentucky hot brown is an American hot sandwich originally from Brown Hotel in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
It is a variation on Welsh rarebit. And it's one of two signatures. Okay.
It's turkey and like tomato sauce and a bechamel. And it's hot?
Yeah. Open-faced, turkey, bacon, Mornay sauce, baked and broiled until the bread is crisp and the sauce begins to brown.
Ooh.
It also can include pimentos or tomatoes over the sauce.
Interesting.
Wow, okay.
I think it is yummy.
I'm going to have to go with a Kentucky hot brown then.
It's just that tier level.
It sounds really enticing. And here's my problem with cheesesteaks is I feel like 9 out of 10 times you go get one, they're really not good. But maybe that's because we're in Denver. Or I grew up in Oklahoma, so it's just there. It's like getting seafood in Oklahoma.
Right.
Like
it's too far. It's too far from South Street. You don't know what's happening anymore.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So that sounds really good to me because like 9 out of 10 times I've had a cheesesteak, I want it to be really good, but it's just not.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I've never had one in Philly before, so.
Do you have a place in town that you go to for cheesesteaks? I mean, if you were going to.
There is a place in Park Hill that supposedly has very good cheesesteaks. I've never been.
Okay.
But maybe because I've been scarred so often.
Yeah, it's just too emotional.
Usually, yeah.
I feel you.
Usually, yeah. I just want to pile fries on top of it. And if you have to, like, jam fries on something, it's probably not that good.
Oh, no, yeah. If you're adding potato to anything, you're not. Potato needs to stand on its own and have ingredients, but not vice versa.
Yeah.
A
poutine is there a good place for a cheesesteak in Denver?
No, one of my best friends lives in Philly, so most of my cheesesteak experience is out there.
Aren't there two very
Pat's
distinct,
and
they're right across the street from each other, right?
Yeah, I can't remember the name
but
of the other one.
One just closed.
Pat's
oh, really?
Is where yeah. Crocs was, right? Pat's was under where the Crocs
No, this is in Philly.
Oh.
Same name, there different. Was, different yeah. owners. Yeah.
The actual place.
I think one of them just closed because it had something like 35 health code violations year after year.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I used to go to Denver Ted's here when it was around the corner from where I live when it was on
Rhino,
13th
right?
and Pearl. But now it's over in Ballpark. So I haven't been in a while. But I'll go to Taste of Philly now and again. And Taste of Philly's pretty good.
That's what it is in Park Hill, Taste of Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they do it. They do a cheesesteak. It does the job.
It's food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get whiz on it. It's great. Good job. Mike.
Phrase the question again for me.
What are we doing? What's happening?
Where are I? Like,
Thunderdome.
Where can I get a Kentucky hot brown in Denver?
Yeah, yeah. It's a battle between a Philly cheesesteak and a Kentucky
recently.
Hot brown.
So a battle between the sandwiches, which can be interpreted many ways. I was originally taking the weaponology. And you can't beat somebody very well with an open-faced sandwich. It does make for a messy throw. So if you hit them with it, it will be very gross and destroy your clothing, which is a fantastic weapon.
Yeah, but lots of spray.
And people from Louisville do have the Louisville Slugger. So they're not going to be soft. But I still feel like the Philly people are going to take that thing and just repeatedly pound you with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
And they're going to stuff it with batteries. And that cheese whiz hardens really fast. So as a weapon, I definitely think the Philly cheesesteak is going to be supreme. As a prank, I'm definitely going with the hot brown. But food-wise, I have to agree with Dash. Got to go with the hot brown.
Okay.
It seems far more interesting and delicious. Now, also curious where you can.
I'm looking. I think the last time I had one in Denver was at Julep.
Okay. Yeah, that's in Rhino.
Yeah, it's southern comfort food. Okay. And I'm can't pull up their menu because we have no reception down here. But I think that's where I had one, and it was good there.
Right on. Yeah, maybe you guys could introduce a little Kentucky Hot Brown as a monthly sandwich.
Yeah, we should probably try one first to make sure we know what we're doing.
Right. If it's horrible, don't replicate it.
Or we could do a terrible Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, yeah.
I would be shocked if somebody in Philly hasn't been arrested for beating somebody else with a Philly cheesesteak.
That seems like a very Philly thing to do.
Yeah.
It's got to happen at every Phillies game.
Right.
I would be surprised if everybody in Philly hasn't been arrested for beating somebody with a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't tell me what to do with this sandwich. Great job.
Was that a Philly accent?
No, it's not. You're each getting 2 points. It is far from that. I can occasionally replicate that thing, but it takes me being around my relatives to know how to do it. You guys each get 2 points, and Shannon, you did the last one, so dash one or two?
Two.
Number two. Do you have a vague idea about the Union Club? The Union Club of New York City.
Hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Such a liar.
Really? I didn't believe that. Try it again.
Yes. I feel like the Union Club was probably the first ever union of foreign-born sandwich makers in the United States that formed their own group because they needed to protect themselves against people like Subway and Quiznos coming in and, you know, taking over their territory.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Interesting.
You guys don't even have to go because that was so right.
Okay. Mike?
Well, since Dash nailed it, I'll just have to come up with another guess. Union Club. To me, for some reason, I want to think it has something to do with Union Station and the rail workers that work there. But I'm not sure Union Station is even in downtown Manhattan. But what is the main station there?
Grand Central?
Grand Central.
Yeah.
So let's omit that from the remarks.
Yeah. No, that's stricken from the record. We're good.
I guess that's a large rail company, Union Rail, right? That's a big company. But the Union Club, is that what it is?
Yeah, the Union Club of New York City.
To me, it sounds like a sandwich. It's got to be a club, which is typically what? Turkey, bacon, mayo, lettuce, tomato? And so it's basically a BLT with three layers of bread and turkey added.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to guess this is just adding one more ingredient. And I'm going to say, well, probably has cheese too, right? Club. I think it's just got like provolone.
It's American or provolone or whatever.
White crappy cheese.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we're going to
some
add,
entitled white cheese.
Yeah. Some white man's cheese for sure. Something with no flavor that everybody thinks is delicious because that's the American way. I'm going to say we're adding avocado to the mix.
Ooh.
We're unionizing it.
Oh, okay.
We've got to get some California unionized avocados on there or, you know, when they're out of season, some Mexican ones that we obviously have to pay the tax to get it over the wall.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know?
Or through the wall.
Through the wall.
Easily sawable through, yeah.
I feel like you could just throw them over the wall.
Or through the wall. They're just slatted, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They can just go right through the wall.
Yeah, I mean, anybody with a good arm can probably throw an avocado right on through.
Yeah.
You just pass them through, really. I mean, we don't have to throw.
And it goes right on your union club.
Maybe that's a new job.
Yeah, there you go. Avocado passer.
Yeah.
International avocado passer.
Right.
I want that on my resume.
Two jobs because someone's
really
got to catch the avocado.
Yeah. No, because what? They're going to land on the ground?
Right.
Great. Well, that doesn't solve any problems.
No.
Yeah. You want to be the guy catching it because you're already in America.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're already here.
Plus, then you get the avocado.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, you know.
Double bonus.
First, you get the avocado. Then you get the money. Then you get the women. Scarface.
Yeah.
Shannon.
And also the Simpsons.
Step 4 plus.
Yeah. The Simpsons do the sugar version. Yeah. Then you get the money.
Shannon, the Union Club of New York City.
I'm gonna piggyback off of Mike a little bit here. Except I think that the Union Club is the place where the club was invented.
You are correct.
Ooh.
That is
really?
What it,
I was totally making that up.
It is semi-disputed, but is the universally held source of where the club sandwich is invented.
Was
the Union Club of New York.
I was going to reference some Mitch Hedberg there too.
Ooh.
Because he's got his whole bit about how we all like the same kind of sandwich, so now let's form a club.
Oh, nice.
Do you like frilly toothpicks? Me too. Let's be in a club.
I like that.
The escalator is now stairs. Sorry for the convenience.
Every time an escalator is broken at DIA, I always think of Mitch Hedberg.
Any broken escalator, yeah. I think of that.
I can walk up these. I'm capable.
Yeah. This is totally convenient stuff.
Yeah.
There's no problem. Technology. great work. Great work, guys.
Wow.
2 points for Dash and Mike.
Where was it invented?
At the Union Club in New York City.
What is the Union Club?
Well, I'll tell you.
Third place does kind of back into it sometimes.
Yeah. You've got a couple options. Okay. More time to think, for sure.
So
I do love a good club sandwich, though.
Yeah. That crappy cheese.
This entire episode is making me really hungry.
I know. It doesn't sound tasty. I
didn't eat before this, which is a mistake.
So the Union Club of the City of New York, commonly known as the Union Club, is a private club in New York City founded in 1836. It's located at East 69th Street and Park Avenue, and it's in a landmark building designed by Delano and Aldrich that opened in August of 1933. The Union Club is the oldest private club in New York City and the fifth oldest in the United States.
Wow.
And they made this sandwich there, and that is where most people think it came from. It is not super substantiated. We don't have clear evidence that no one else made this sandwich elsewise, but yeah, pretty cool.
Interesting.
So
like the Caesar salad.
Yeah, right? I mean, Caesar invented it while he was dying after being stabbed.
No.
Ides of March.
Wrong.
It's Mexican.
Yeah. No, I know.
Come on.
Yeah, no,
I don't know. I just wanted to brag. That's the first thing we've talked about all night that I knew for sure. So I had to jump in there.
It was a Mexican chef at a resort hotel, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt about that one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
He bragged.
His name was Caesar, and he made the salad.
He's like, hey, look, I got these three things left. Throw them together.
I have this random anchovy gel or dressing.
Yeah.
I just whipped this up real quick.
I got several tins of anchovies. What can I do with this? And some romaine. The end. 3 points for Shannon, 2 points for the both of you gentlemen. And we have one topic left, Mike. You're the guy. Do you want the last topic?
Sure, but I started and we had 10 topics. All right. Math, not even once. It makes sense that I start again.
Yeah.
So I guess there's one number left, so I'll take that one.
Great. Great. We are going to play from the makers of Pomme aux Pommes de Terre. It's La Chose Française Arbitraire, which is the arbitrary French thing. The only thing that's French about it is the title right now. And otherwise, it is a completely arbitrary round that has no meaning. So the question I pose to you is, how am I doing?
How are you doing?
Yeah, how am I doing?
Geez. Well, you seem like you're doing great. You're drinking a Budweiser.
It's true.
You're listening to our deep voices in secured headphones, which sounds extra sexy.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of ASMR going on in here. I like it.
Right. Yeah. Your hands seem to be appropriately sized.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Always aided by a good Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Buffalo Trace doesn't hurt. And you're having a good time with good people. What more can you ask for in life? What more is it about? You're doing great.
Well done. Good answer. Shannon, how am I doing?
I agree. I think you're doing great. You've gotten to throw out some French phrases, which I know you really enjoy.
Oui.
We've had a good time with all the questions.
Uh-huh.
There was only one that we didn't know, but we still had a good time with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing good.
Okay. Great, great. Dash, how am I doing?
I think you're doing superb.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, see, that was superlative and complimentary.
Say it again. Superb.
Superb. Superb.
I think you're doing great because you mentioned that your wife is in French classes on Monday or something like that.
Yeah,
so I bet you're going to get bonus points for your pronunciation of this.
I'm also trying to learn French by not going to class, but by using Duolingo, which is a delightful little app.
The owl man.
Yeah.
I took 7 years of French about 100
years
ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So every time we do a crossword and there's French coming up, I always say I know it, I don't. Yeah. But it was a complete waste of time.
But you feel like you know it.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's the I should know it section of the crossword.
You're like, is it Baudelaire?
Right.
Because if it's Baudelaire, I know that.
Yeah. Charles de Gaulle, he's cool.
Yeah. The airport. Yeah. I love that airport.
Yeah. But back to you. You're doing great.
Oh, hey. Stop making this about
you. You are the best podcast host I've ever had the pleasure of meeting.
See, this guy knows how to play the game. Yeah. Well done. Well done. Up my
key. He's the only one.
Great job. 2 points for Mike, 2 points for Shannon, 4 points for Dash for being so complimentary.
Yay.
And now I need to tally up the scores real quick. So you guys should talk amongst yourselves about whatever for a couple of minutes.
Sweet. Have you been to the Curtis Park Deli before?
Yeah, the one in Curtis Park. Yeah. 5 points. OG. I haven't been to the Cherry Creek one.
What do you normally get? Food?
Yeah, I lean towards
a sandwich.
Yeah. A salad.
I lean towards like all the meat.
Yeah.
Like just put everything on it. Put everything on it. Yeah. And I don't want to say now, because if I say that I like American cheese, I'm going to be judged.
Well, we don't have American.
Yeah, there is no American cheese.
Which,
by definition, interestingly, is not actually cheese.
Which one is the American cheese? That's like the Kraft singles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's also delicious. I mean, come on.
Yes, it is delicious. But to be cheese, it has to be 50% dairy, which American cheese is not.
I do like the Kraft singles for making grilled cheeses at home.
Yeah. Or like it's drunk with Triscuits is pretty good, too.
Ooh.
It's good for queso dip.
Or saltines, I mean.
Like, that's what, Velveeta?
Yeah.
Also not
cheese. Yeah, we were a big Velveeta family for my entire childhood, and I remember it, like, and I bought Velveeta probably, like, 2 years ago, or I was like, I gotta do that again? And you know what? You can't eat much of it before you're like, oh, God, what am I doing to myself?
You bring that to a Super Bowl party and share. You can only have so much of it.
No, it's the same way that you do a can of cranberry sauce that falls out in a gel shaped like the can. You just put that block of Velveeta in and you microwave it for a second. Cool. Now it's liquid. No problem. Yeah.
Professional chef.
It went from a solid to a liquid to a gas all at once.
It defied physics. Yeah. It became plasma without any input of energy, which is, fascinating. That is magic. Like Isaac Asimov would just lose his shit.
There's a local restaurant, I won't say their name, but they have a queso that I really like.
Dox that restaurant.
And I took my friend who was vegetarian, and she was like, do you have any, I just want to confirm there's no meat in this queso. And they were like, oh, no, it's just Velveeta and Rotel. I was like, oh, great.
Yeah.
What does Rotel stand for?
Does it
stand for something?
That's a really good question.
It feels like it should stand for something, because it's like R-O and then a dot.
Right.
Like a period hyphen. And then tell. And I always wanted it to stand for something that I could comprehend, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's just peppers and tomatoes.
Is it Swiss? I don't even know.
I don't know. Hmm. I don't know what it is. I just know that I know that it's in quesos as a salsa.
And I'm throwing air quotes around salsa.
Right. Yeah.
This will be in the next podcast.
Yeah. Salsa.
One of the 10 rounds on Rotel.
Great job, guys. So this has been a very competitive game. Dash, you have won with 34 points. Congratulations.
I lost the deli.
Cheers.
Yeah. Second place.
We were actually playing for full ownership, so that's
my understanding is that you are contractually obligated now to completely break off as business partners because of tonight, which, I mean, I feel honored, but it's also kind of sad because this is a lot of pressure on our little show.
Wait, if I had won, would I have gotten it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
I would have tried so much harder if I had known.
Shannon, you got second place with 30 points, and Mike had 28 points. Great job.
Narrow.
Yeah.
Yay.
No, it was a really close game and really well done. So Dash, do you have anything you'd like to plug right now to let the listeners know about? Do you want them to you know, watch some Dustin Diamond porn or go to the sandwich, whatever.
It's weird.
It's
very disconcerting.
Yeah, that's I can only imagine dark. That's the only thing it could be.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Now I'm on that whole kick.
Yeah, no, let's take a pause.
Yeah.
And let's go away from that assertion at all. And anything else you'd like to plug?
I mean, obviously Curtis Park Deli.
Yeah.
Just come get a sandwich. We like making food.
We're phenomenal sandwich shop.
Locations? Yeah.
Two locations in town.
Yeah, so there's one at, 26th and Champa?
Yeah, 2532
Champa.
Yeah,
that's the OG, and then 6th and Clayton in Cherry Creek.
Yeah.
Across from the Goodwill drop-off that everybody knows about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to go there.
Yeah.
Good sandwiches.
Yeah.
Local business.
Everyone's got furniture to drop off. do that.
Yeah.
Pick up a sandwich.
You know, you're doing a good thing. You left a lamp for some people who need a lamp, and now you're going to go eat something. Yeah.
I always love lamp.
You know, honestly, we have an association of businesses up and down 6th Avenue that we're trying to, like, get everybody to know about. They're all locally owned, all family owned some have been family owned for 50, 60 years. So, you know, stop in for a sandwich, go next door, get your nails did, go get your hair cut or take a bar class. You know, there's really great businesses and really great business owners all up and down 6.
You can also get tutored in mathematics.
Yeah. Mathnasium.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
apparently we need it after tonight.
Go to 7-Eleven, right? Get a lotto ticket.
It took me way too long to add up those numbers.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing for me is trying to support local businesses in Denver, given our growth and everything else. And I am so happy that both of you have been on the show because you've established something good.
Yep.
In a town that could so easily be taken over by franchises of shit,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which it has for the most part.
Right.
And you guys are doing something wonderful. So thank you for running the shops you run, because we need independent, good, you know, quality food and quality everything else.
Well, yeah. And thanks for the people of Denver for supporting it.
Well, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
We wouldn't be here if they weren't.
No, yeah. Yeah. Mike?
Yeah.
Plugs?
Yeah. Appreciate the compliments, and I couldn't agree more. And it's not just us. I mean, obviously, the sandwich selection in Denver is less than lots of other things, so we're very proud to offer, you know, a good fix for the city. People definitely need that, but I would plug just supporting all the local businesses throughout Denver, of any kind. It's great to have local podcasts and local advertising companies and local everything. It's part of Denver growing at a large level. You know, we're definitely becoming a very large city, which obviously everyone knows the cons. The cost of living is going up and traffic goes up, but it comes with better restaurants and better services and better bars and better I would just plug that everybody go and support the local economy as much as possible.
Get
away from one thing that's really endearing about Denver still, though. I think that there's a lot of local businesses here still that are thriving.
Oh, I agree. I mean, my biggest tragedy of this week is that the Denver Bike Cafe shut down.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
After years. Yeah. And
I heard
and
they had a great party that last night. So
yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And that's the thing is it's – but it is. I mean, it's sad that to lose these local vestiges. But it's also, we have a city that still has – we have a lot of spirit.
Right.
You know?
People here like local. I think. And they're
willing to pay for it,
which is nice. It's a lot like Portland or Seattle in that respect, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we're crunchy enough.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
I like not driving up and down the Colorado or 17th or wherever, you don't see fast food joints on every corner.
Yeah.
I think that's really something special about this city.
Oh, no, it's surprising to me that actually in the course of time that I've been paying attention to Denver, that there seem to be less Starbuckses in the sort of central area than there were when I moved here.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there were like 4 on the 16th Street Mall when I moved here, and there's only like 2 now.
Right.
Which is, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I love that it's hard. Like, you know, if you want to find your nearest Arby's or Taco Bell, you actually have to go look it up unless you know where it is. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
And by the time you drive there, you talk yourself out of it anyways.
Right.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shit. We're already over. Okay.
I gotta pass by Illegal Pete's to get to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And I'm always why would I do Taco Bell if I can do Illegal Pete's?
I can do a 9 or I can do a 6.
Yeah.
What do I want to do? Yeah.
Depends on your time of day, obviously. And
if it's 2 in the morning and you're like, whatever.
I'm not going to begrudge anybody for going down that road because we've all done it. But I would say in general, just get out and keep supporting the locals. It's what keeps our city great and why your property value does go up, because people like being around that stuff.
Yeah, because there's sustainable businesses that draw people, and it's worth the time. Shannon, what would you like to plug?
Well, as long as we're plugging local businesses, I'd like to plug Steno.
Yes, and thank our hosts.
A co-working space in Denver, Colorado that has provided us with all of our microphones and equipment and our space to record in. So thank you, Steno.
Yeah, cool. stenodenver.com. I will also plug our new Facebook group. We have a group. It's called the A Vague Idea Podcast Online Group Thing. You can find it on Facebook. It's needlessly wordy, but that's because the show is needlessly wordy. We could probably do this in 5 minutes, really, but we're going to do it in an hour and a half on average. So join that group. check it out. Also, if you like the show, tell 5 to 20 people about it. Maybe 100. Do you know 100 people? Do you?
On
Mike,
Facebook.
Mike, how many people do you know?
Oh, man. I've thought about this a lot because you see customers come in all the time and you forget their names. You remember their face. And you kick yourself in the foot all the time for not remembering their names. But I do know, you think all the people you grew up with and all the people that I see in the shop on a daily basis, it's got to be thousands.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands
so good.
Of people.
So you know potentially thousands of people.
Yeah, and they're all around here.
Tell them about this podcast. Tell them that you like it. If you do. If you don't like it, tell them you don't like it. Maybe they'll download it out of hate.
Give us a bumper sticker. We'll put it out there.
There you go.
We should also ask, do you guys have any social media you'd like to plug?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We do.
To follow Curtis Park.
Just Curtis Park Deli on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah.
Great.
Pretty simple. Not as wordy.
Oh, yeah. No, this is all over the place.
How about if people come in and mention the podcast, get 10% off?
Oh, shit. Well, if you guys want to do that, that's great.
Yeah, why
consider
not?
It done.
We call it mates rates. If you listen to the podcast, you're one of our mates.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, so guys, if you have listened to this show and you go to Curtis Park Deli, you're going to get 10% off just for mentioning a vague idea.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
You get
thank
like
you.
Permanent mates rates.
Thank you.
We might give you 11% off.
Yeah,
this is, I'm gonna walk like a quarter mile for lunch to get down to that Cherry Creek location.
It should
sure
be 60 on
sandwich.
Friday.
Otherwise, I don't know. Follow our social media at A Vague Idea Podcast on Instagram and A Vague Idea Pod on Twitter. Check out the Facebook group though. We're having a lot of fun. We're playing Pommel Pomme de Terre online once a week each week. It's a real blast. Shannon doesn't
are
have to
really?
Deal with it. Yeah, we are. Yeah. I'm finding photos of things. Last week, I posted a picture of my adorable corgi Rocket in the snow, playing in the snow in Denver, and asked, is he an apple or a potato? And people are getting arbitrary points just like here on this show.
That's awesome.
Otherwise, hey, you know, thank you guys so much for listening. Live your life. Try not to make the world worse. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. See ya.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Gronkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.